Hi, I'm Orbert Davis, and welcome to the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic Jazz Cast Series, where we sit down with music legends as well as rising stars to hear their stories. This monthly series is all about sharing experience and knowledge with you. Thanks for tuning in. For more, visit chicagojazzphilharmonic.org. Let's do it.
Thank you for inviting me, Jordan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, and it is a pleasure to speak to you, as always. So for our students who may not already know you or may not know about all of your wonderful activities, I'd like to just give a little introduction to who you are. So let me give a real quick overview, and then I want you to fill in some gaps for me, okay? So you are from Chicago, and you are of Mexican-American descent, and you are a, now I'm going to miss some of these instruments because I know you play a lot, but I know you as a violinist and a baritone sax player, as well as several other instruments that are probably right there on the wall behind you. But can you tell us just a little bit about what instruments you play and your musical background?
Yeah, sure. So I am first generation Mexican American. Both my parents were born in Mexico and made their transition to the United States in their late teens and decided to have their family. And so my history with music, it all started with the clarinet, and then I moved to the saxophone, and I was already a part of like the band, concert band in Chicago. I don't know if you guys know about the All City band programs and orchestra programs. So I was participating in those programs. And then I picked up the violin at the age of 13 and fell in love with it completely and stuck with it, still played the saxophone. And in high school, I played jazz band. My senior year, I switched to Barry sax, and that was a game changer. Yeah, so I started as a woodwind player, then moved on to strings, to violin, and then I formed part of the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic Orchestra, doubling on Barry sax and violin. So if there were any sections that were, you know, more big band, you know, heavy, then I would play saxophone on those sections, and then, you know, with violin. And I was also playing with a group that would tour around called Sones de Mexico Ensemble, and we featured you know, the culture, Mexican culture. And you know, we all know that a country doesn't come with one culture. You know, each region comes with, you know, different ideas, different upbringings. And there are, you know, areas in Mexico where it's more European, you know, influenced, and then others where it's more indigenous. So, you know, Sones de Mexico Ensemble, this group dedicated themselves to, you know, shining light in, you know, these different cultures in Mexico. So I did play clarinet, tenor sax, violin, jarana, jarocha. It's like a little ukulele, the Mexican version of it. And marimba. I also danced in the group. And
you also played a jawbone, did you not?
I did. I played a donkey jawbone, you know, at some point. I don't have one here. I wish I could show it to you guys. It's so cool. No, we did not. That was not produced from animal abuse. Once the animals, you know, die or whatever, that's, you know, Mexicans are so innovative, and, you know, we make them into instruments. All right. So, yes. Yeah, so today's interview is about talking my new, what would you call it, Jordan?
your brand new life. Your brand new whole life. Just musical
venture,
life.
New venture.
New adventure.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I think Sones de Mexico is a really good place to kind of make a little bit of a transition, because as you were saying, they really focused on all of these various regions and the musical traditions therein, right?
Right.
And so I have a genuine question, which is that mariachi music, we kind of know as a Mexican form of music. Mm-hmm. Is it similarly kind of regionally specific? Is it pan-Mexican? And then with that answer, I also want to move into, yeah, where you are now and what you are doing.
Yeah, for sure. Sones in Mexico focused more on regional styles. Now, mariachi, because it is such a contemporary, you know, ensemble, Sones in Mexico didn't really play any mariachi. They would play traditional mariachi, which sounds completely different than what it is now. So what was I going to include? I was going to mention, yes, Sones in Mexico focused on playing genres from different parts of Mexico, but didn't focus so much on mariachi because, you know, there's already a lot of attention on mariachi music, and mariachi is not a form, a genre of music that's like dying out. So they didn't focus so much on that. And to also connect it, you know, I was playing with the orchestra, you know, a little bit of jazz, a little bit of classical, a little bit of regional Mexican music, some mariachi. So, you know, I felt like I was also playing in an Afro-Cuban group. You know, I felt like I was playing different genres, but not really focusing in one and to become a professional in one genre. And so, you know, when I wanted to get more into mariachi, I started the first university mariachi in Illinois, in Chicago, at UIC. I founded that program. And then I also founded the first all-female mariachi in Chicago. However, you know, throughout the course of time, it wasn't really what I was, you know, expecting. I wanted to be challenged, and I also felt like I didn't know enough to continue these programs. So, you know, I left these programs in good hands with people that have a lot more experience than I do while I get my experience out here in Guadalajara, Jalisco, Mexico. So this is where I currently live. I moved here last year in July. My plan was to stay for 6 months and learn as much as possible, but I have already been here for a little over a year. I just love it here so much. And people here, the attitude is completely different. The approach to the view on life and work and all of that, it's more focused on oneself. Like, okay, I have to enjoy this life for me. And yeah, just living life. But, you know, that's where I'm living right now. And
So after moving there, you obviously continued your musical endeavors, which included and continues to include being a part of a very successful all-female mariachi group. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about a little bit about the group, and then we'll actually watch a video of them performing?
Yeah, definitely. So when I came here to Guadalajara, it never crossed my mind that I would be invited to play with groups. You know, I was playing with people that I knew here in Guadalajara. So small groups. I was also taking lessons on this instrument right here. This is a vihuela. And I was focusing more on this guy to understand the harmonic progressions and all of that happened in mariachi music. And so I was invited to a rehearsal with this group. Their name is Mariachi Femenil Nuevo Tecalitlán. And they have a very long trajectory. You know, they are directly connected to the mariachis that are named the best mariachis in the world, which is Mariachi Vargas de Tecalitlán and Mariachi Nuevo Tecalitlán. So they created a female version to represent the Mexican woman and their talents and what they, you know, bring to this genre that is male dominated, actually, because there is actually not one elite mariachi. By elite, I mean well-known, famous, you know, mariachi, which is all male, you know, it is a male dominated genre. that have included women. You know, there is no trace of that. There has only been one group, but in the United States. So in that group, you know, only two women have formed part of their 40 plus years of trajectory. So women are not really seen or supported in the mariachi world until recent years. And so they created the all-female version of, you know, the best mariachis, the male mariachis in the world. And yeah, so I got invited. It was super random. I didn't know how they knew about me. I still have to ask them how we even came across, honestly. But it was like, hey, can you make it to rehearsal? And I was just like, yeah, sure. I was super nervous because I knew of them and I was a huge fan. They have over, you know, they have almost 300,000 followers on Facebook. And with their 15-year trajectory, you know, traveling to London, all over the world, to Canada, to the United States, different parts of Latin America, to represent. They have been the only all-female mariachi that have been invited to the events, Hollywood Bowl in the United States. So, you know, this group is a big deal. They have two discs out. And yeah, so when they called me for rehearsal, I was like, yeah, sure, why not? You know, luckily they were rehearsing songs I knew. And then they asked me, hey, do you want to join? And I was like, no, I don't want to join. I can't. I have to study your music first. I have to see all the videos on YouTube, on Facebook, because they live stream every gig, and, you know, learn it first before I join you guys. And she was like, no, don't worry about that. Life is too short. You know, she's like, jump on board. You're going to learn as you go. And I think I've been so fortunate to encounter leaders in my life like that, you know, like Orbert Davis, Mark Jordan, you know, Leslie, all of you have, you know, been a part of my life and have always been like, trust, you know, trust your process and you learn as you go and you're going to find yourself what you give, you know, in this space. And I think that I find that very valuable. And so I'm glad that I found it here too.
That's amazing. Well, I mean, I guess, first of all, congratulations, because it's a big deal to be a part of this group and you definitely deserve it. You're very talented, and we all know all of the accolades that you deserve. And this is just one more of them. But actually, at this point, having heard a little bit about the group, I'd like for us to watch a quick video from a performance. And could you set this up for us? What is this video from?
So this video is from a, so we were promoting the International Mariachi and Charrería Festival. You know, it was all virtual this year and only the invited guests took part, and there wasn't an audience or anything like that. So we were just promoting this festival, saying, hey, you know, we're not going to do the festival. So, you know, we were just presenting the group and saying, check these dates out. And it was a national television. And that was the first time that I played with them on TV. I was super nervous. And when I am nervous, I smile a lot more than I usually do. And so you'll see those captures, and then I'll just kind of avoid the camera, making eye contact with the camera. But yeah, that program was to promote the international festival. And letting people know, hey, we're still going to do this. Check these dates out. And this is the group that's going to be accompanying the singers. So I hope you guys enjoy.
Y así somos el Jalisco. Y que viva México, sí, señor. Soy ese viajero que va por el camino, por brechas y veredas buscando su destino. Escucho alegres trinos de la vía arborera, rubor de fresca brisa de tierra morena. y miro en las espigas dorados sus trigales, como las que se mecen muy verde los maizales, y serpentean las bardas en piedras quebradas, casitas con arcones de adobe blanqueadas. La Virgen del Cerrito, que alivia nuestros males, nos da sus bendiciones, milagros y bondades. Con pelos mexicanos le brindan su canto y todos la visitan el día de su santo.
¡Venga! México, México, te llevo en el corazón.
Con la alegría del mariachi me brota la inspiración.
México, México, de bronce es tu corazón.
No hay como son escarochos cantados con emoción. ¡Échale, muchachas! Pirámides labradas, pinceles de pasión, pitayos coronados, un águila en acción, serpiente emplumada en recio nopal, escudo mexicano, valor nacional. Piletas como espejos y tibias sus lagunas, se peinan con el viento de encaje las espumas, de piedras molcajetes, volcanes nevados, el populista Cihuat, amantes postrados. Me quedo en este suelo tan lindo y tan sereno, porque he encontrado cantos, caricias y consuelos. Por tantas cosas bellas me quedo en tu seno, gozando tus pregones de cantar el viajero.
México, México,
brota la inspiración.
México, México, que bronce es tu corazón.
Ve como son escarochos cantados con emoción.
Mi México, México, te llevo en el corazón.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. Ah, that was so wonderful.
So these songs, we learn them all by ear. You know, in the United States, my experience learning mariachi has been learning mariachi with sheet music. But traditionally speaking, it is an oral tradition. So when I got here, I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, I'm ready. Give me the music. They're like, what are you talking about? Like, we don't do that here. I'm like, what? They're like, yeah, this is your part. I'm like, okay, there are transcriptions of some songs and then new songs and new arrangements. Yes, there is music for that. But for songs like this that you just heard, which is a traditional song, you know, that didn't have sheet music, but some people transcribed it. And I found it. I finally found it, but it's handwritten and it is so hard to understand what it says. You know, and then I'm taking a look, I'm like, oh my God, I've been playing the wrong notes. So in the recording, you know, I'm playing an A, B, but it's actually B to B flat or B to A. I'm just like, oh man. So thank God for sheet music, right?
Oh, that's too funny. I mean, for our students, I would note that highlights the importance of developing your ear.
Oh yeah. For sure. You know, and that is something I neglected for a very long time, you know, because yes, sheet music was readily always available, but you know, I didn't have to, I didn't study jazz in college, so I didn't have to transcribe solos. I would do it in my own time just for fun. But then it got to a really hard part. I'm just like, it's okay. I don't need to finish it. But I'm kidding, Orbert. but yes.
So I have a question, actually, kind of going back. We heard in the first part of our conversation several times the mention of the idea of an all-female mariachi. And you talked a little bit about that, but I'm wondering if you could give us a little bit more context for why that stands out and why that is something that is both in the world of mariachi and also important.
Yeah, definitely. So historically speaking, mariachi came from, it came from existence from farm workers, and farm workers were usually men that would work in the fields, right? Women dedicated themselves to housework, but farm workers from, landowners, they on their own time would play music, and so they were in charge of the music. You know, it was always, and then all the lyrics, everything, it came from a male perspective. Until recently, we're seeing new compositions of, a woman's perspective. And, but unfortunately, a lot of the history in Mexico is very much machista. And a lot of the songs speak, either really badly of the woman or, songs like this one, which was about the pride, of being Mexican. So it's, her songs consist of horses, the pride of, having a horse, landowners, usually, they'd be on their horses. Charrería is the main sport here. So it's, you're taking the bull, pulling it or catching the horses in the field. So all these, sports plus people who were in charge, like landowners, usually men, until recently, the first woman in male mariachi was only like less than 50 years ago. And it happened in the United States. So not even here. But there have been female mariachis here in Mexico for a very long time, except attention was never put, they were never spotlighted. They were never, in the center of attention until they started dressing like the men. Because women used to use their dresses, and like folkloric dresses. But until women started using the male charro suit, the mariachi suit with the buttons and all of that, I think that's when it's, men felt threatened. And it's like, whoa, like you're coming into my realm. But women did not give up and just kept going forward from there.
That's great. I was actually going to comment that I really liked the way you are all dressed. Is it, I think I know the answer to this, but is it fairly common to have that sort of like uniform dress across the entire group?
Yes, definitely here. Yes. I didn't do that with my group in Chicago. You can dress however you want. You can do your makeup however you want. But something I see here a lot is you better have gel on your hair. You better have it under control. No frizziness. There are groups that do their makeup exactly the same colors, all of that. And yes, outfits, it's a uniform, And we have about 10, I would say we have about 10 outfits, uniform match uniforms. But other groups, to save money, these things are expensive, Usually groups only have two, the black one and the beige one. But this group that I play with, they have 10, they have to stand out from everyone else.
Sure. Is it such that I don't mean to focus on the clothes so much, but I'm just curious. So is it like, oh, we use the blue ones for this kind of event, the black one for this kind of event? Yes. Is it?
Yep. And sometimes clients will ask us to wear specific color. They know the colors that we have in our uniforms and they're like, hey, I want you to use a green one. Hey, I want you to use a gray one. You know, sometimes we've matched with bridesmaids at weddings, you know, or for quinceañeras, for, you know, sweet 16s, you know, we have the green one with pink flowers. And so sometimes the clients will request us to even take the sombrero, the big hat. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that actually brings me to another question that I had, which is, so obviously mariachi is a part of Mexican culture, but where do you find it fitting in the most? I mean, what sorts of venues or events or where do you find yourself playing most often?
You know, I something I've noticed is that, you know, mariachi is very much like, oh, if they have mariachi at the party, wow, like, watch out, you know, that's, it's a big deal, right? Wow, they can afford a mariachi because mariachis are expensive, you know? Imagine 13 members. Over there in the United States, we get paid between $60 to $100 each member. So imagine how much per hour. So, you know, it's expensive. It's a luxury. So when people have mariachis here, it's a luxury. So every festival, you know, there will be a mariachi, you know, involved. And that's why I really appreciated the work. I appreciate the work that Sones de Mexico does by bringing, you know, spotlighting different regional styles of Mexican music, just because so much attention is already put in mariachi. You know, the United States has now, there are some universities that have created a career in mariachi. You know, you can get your bachelor's degree in mariachi education, or just, you know, being a professional and, or a historian in mariachi, in Texas, especially Texas and California. So mariachi is seen like, wow, you know, very respectable, you know, genre. And but you'll find us anywhere, really. Mass, they started as a religious type of group, you know. So mariachi first, you know, was part of, like, you know, whatever religious, you know, event there was, and then it started moving towards, like, parties, you know, birthdays, or just, you know, celebrating life, whatever. You can have mariachi at any time that you want. You know, I can hire a mariachi today on a Tuesday, you know, and be like, I just want you guys to play for me here, but I don't have the money for that. So,
well, you mentioned that you paid hourly. I'm not going to ask you about your pay, but the hourly thing reminded me, you guys play, like, insanely long sets. I mean, like, you play for lengths of time that I think anybody else on this call would look at and just think, no, that's not possible.
Tell me
a little bit about that.
I didn't think it was possible either. You know, and when I was in Chicago and I was playing with different mariachi groups, maybe we'd play 2-3 hours at a gig. And that honestly seemed long for me. I was used to 1 hour gigs, 30 minute gigs, but when the 2-3 hour gigs started happening in Chicago, I was like, wow, that's a lot, you know? But I came here, I think the longest we've played for a client is 10 hours. So initially they would hire us for 3 hours, but then if they get really into it, you know, they'll want more and more hours. And so it happens on the spot. We improvise, we go along with the flow. We do get a break every 45 minutes. So we play for 45 minutes, rest for 15, play for 45 minutes, rest for 15. If we want to finish sooner, we put 2 hours together and take a break for 30, or just leave, you know, earlier. It depends at the party.
Yeah, that is just an insanely long time, though, to be playing.
I know people practice 9 to 10 hours a day. So I was like, wow, so that's what it feels like.
So in that time, I mean, I have to imagine that no matter how good and how practiced the group is, nobody has 9 or 10 hours of repertoire in their back pocket.
Mm-hmm. definitely.
So I did hear you say that you'll just improvise. And being that this is jazz camp, I would love to hear about like, what does that look like in the context of mariachi, and how is it similar or different from jazz improvisation?
That's a great question, and that's a really good connection. Yeah, so we don't go to the parties and play our set list. We go to the parties, we maybe play the first or two songs, first or second song, maybe five songs that, you know, we have prepared, but then the clients will start asking for songs like, hey, can you play this? Hey, can you play that? Hey, can you play that? And it's just like, yeah, sure, you know? And some of the things we do, they do have like right off the bat, but there are songs that people ask for that only one person in the group know. And that one person, okay, here's the melody. All right, you're going to sing it. All right, let's find the key. All right, no, the key of C is too low. Let's transpose it and let's, you know, play it in and E. I don't know. So at that moment, it's like some people are working towards taking out the melody and all right, let's find the key and the key that you're going to sing it in. All right, so now we're playing the song. We start the song, right? But what happens in between? We're not going to just stand there and not do anything while the person is singing, you know? So we start improvising like backgrounds, you know? So one person can tell us, hey, we're going to do this. Da, 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 da. All right, great. Now, how are we going to play first, second, and third violin? All right. So then we have to know some theory and know, you know, what chords are being played. Usually our harmonies are in thirds. And sometimes the third violin is like in a sixth below the first violin, or a fifth. So it depends what's happening with the guitars and all of that. I know it's so much to think, right?
I mean, like, I'm genuinely getting a bit of anxiety just listening to you describe it.
I am so sorry. You know, I at first it was so nerve-wracking, but I learned, okay, I'm just going to stand here, wait for them to figure it out. And then when the song starts, because honestly, it just takes too much time sometimes. So not everyone is on the same page. So it's all right. The songs usually repeat. So you hear the melody the first time. All right. I'm going to see, okay, what can I catch on to? All right. Now, all right. The music is repeating. Oh, I got it now because I listened to it the first time. But you got to be so, you know, keen with your ear and paying attention to the bowings, whatever. It's just, it's hard. And sometimes, you know, I go ahead and jump to third violin. I like to harmonize under, it's easier to take out the first violin part because it's the main melody. Now, sometimes the second and third violin. So maybe with our saxophone section in big band, you know, the alto sax has the main melody, but then we have the tenor, two tenors and the bari sax that are creating, I don't know, some counterpoint or some kind of harmonies that will make the main melody sound better. And so that's when you get creative. Okay, well, I guess I'll just play the same note, ba ba ba. Sometimes it's just staying on the same note as the tonal, the bottom of like the entire section to make what is above sound better. I don't know if that made any sense, but
I think that's actually a really good description. If any of our students have been unsure of what it means to harmonize, and especially in that supporting role where lower harmonies, I think maybe come to us a little bit later sometimes than higher harmonies. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great description. As I was watching the video that we saw earlier, I was noticing, of course, I recognize a singer, I recognize, you know, the violins, I recognize the trumpets. There were a few instruments in there that I'm less familiar with that look a lot like what's behind you on the wall. I'm wondering if you could just kind of walk us through, oh yes, or demonstrate, that would be even better. Yeah, sure. But I'm wondering about the sort of typical instrumentation for a mariachi.
Yeah, typical instrumentation, once you see the guitarrón, which is this is the bass of the mariachi ensemble. This is the vihuela, which is the harmonic and percussive instruments of the ensemble. And they both have only five, well, the guitarrón, this has six strings, And the vihuela has 5 strings. They have a curved back. Both of these instruments have a curved back. And these two are the rhythm section for the mariachi. If there's a harp, that's a luxury. You know, not every group has a harp. Harp does harmony with, they do the bass notes with the guitarrón and then do the melody sometimes. Or the harp player mainly just improvises like the entire time when there's room to improvise. Sometimes you can't hear the harp if the violins are playing or if the trumpets are playing. So when she sees like, when the harp player sees an opportunity to jump in there, you'll just hear some improvisation. But like I said, a lot of these musicians were trained orally, and you know, it's I think that's something that I have had a difficult time with, because when I try to explain, okay, you know, some of them will ask me, how do you do the third violin? I'm just like, okay, well, if you listen to the rhythm section of the mariachi, you look at what chord they're playing, right? And for example, this is a D. And we know that in the chord of D, we have D, F sharp, and A. Now, if the first violins are playing F sharp, the second violins are playing A, that's a sixth, right? F sharps are on top, A at the bottom, that's a sixth apart. So there's something in between missing, right? So then we would add that D in between. Different inversions, but it still works out, you know? And so you just got to see what you have to fill in, you know? Sometimes I'm constantly like looking both ways because I have my first violins here, seconds and third. Sometimes there's no third. I'm like, okay. And then sometimes they're playing second. Okay, let me jump to second. But these two instruments can never, you know, miss. You cannot have a mariachi without these two instruments. You can have a mariachi with these two plus one violin and one trumpet, or these two with two violins, or these two with two trumpets, or these two with just a trumpet and a singer. But these two, requirements. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Could I put you on the spot actually before you put that away and ask?
Yeah.
So you said that this is kind of like harmony and rhythm section. And I mean, in that description, right, there was no drummer, there was no piano player, no vibes, you know, some of the things that our jazz players might recognize as a typical rhythm section. So I'm wondering if you could play a little bit for us so we could just hear what that instrument sounds like and how it creates the harmonic and rhythm section parts of the piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So, you know, these two work hand in hand. So this gives us bass notes. Let's say we're in a 3/4 time. The bass gives us the beat on number one, and then the vihuela will play on 2 and 3. So we'll hear boom, 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 boom. And so this sounds more harmonic, right? But there are songs where, you know, we use it in a more aggressive way. Like a song, for example, the song that you heard, it's pretty percussive. Let's see if this. Let me see if I can play this because it's been a while. All right. So, you know, it fills in a lot. And sometimes you'll hear. So you hear that slap? It's kind of like the hi-hat. So it's giving a harmony and the percussive side to it. So it's doing.
Yeah. Well, I really love that. I mean, you know, many of our students and you, of course, know I'm a guitar player, so I always like to geek out on these sorts of instruments. But yeah, I mean, it's really interesting that you can draw those parallels between like that kind of higher percussive sound and something that you'd see on a drum set, like the hi-hat. Okay, really cool. So I think with our last few minutes here, I'd like to see if any of our students have questions.
So what is your favorite instrument to play?
My favorite instrument to play, you know, I'm always asked that because I can never decide between barry sax and violin. Now that I've been focusing more on violin, I think I have to say violin.
Which person were you on the video when you showed us the video?
The one showing my pearly white when I was playing. Yeah, I look so different without makeup. So I was like, these kids are not going to recognize me because I'm wearing a bunch of makeup and eyelashes and jewelry.
So whenever I go to Mexico, I always see like it's either mariachi or like norteño. Like they're always just walking down the street playing. Like, do you guys ever do that?
Oh my goodness! Thank you for bringing that up. So yes, the group that I play with don't do that. If you go downtown here in Guadalajara, there's a section called Plaza de los Mariachis, and usually these people, these mariachi musicians, will throw themselves in front of your car to offer you the best prices, and so that you can hire them to. They're there until 5 a.m. They're there all day, all night, working. And I have not done that because that's a part of the mariachi, you know, world that I am okay with not experiencing, especially because there's really there's no woman in there. I've only seen like one or two. But it can be dangerous because it's really late at night and, you know, they literally throw themselves at you. One time I was taking an Uber and, you know, going down that street and yeah, mariachis, they're walking around, you know, some will stop you forcefully and ask you, hey, do you want a song? I'll give it to you for this price. And then the other guy will hear, and I'll give it to you for this price. You know, just work, you know, it's a bargain, you know, how much you will sell the song for. But yeah, that's very much, that's seen a lot here. And that's totally normal. When I saw it, I got scared and I was like, whoa. Preferred instrument, you know, like I said, it's really hard to pick, but I think because I've dedicated myself more on violin, I will never stop loving the barry sax. I actually brought my clarinet with me and my mouthpieces. I did get asked to record on tenor and barry here, but we couldn't find an instrument to rent. And so violin, the next instrument I really prefer and that I'm working on is my voice. I'm trying to get myself more comfortable to sing and all of that. And I think that's it with the preferred instrument. What motivated you to keep playing and learning instruments? I think that's just what I've dedicated myself to. There was a time where I wanted to quit, you know, and every time I said, I'm gonna quit the music industry, I'm gonna quit, I don't wanna keep going. A new opportunity came up, you know, whether it was recording or teaching at a school or playing a gig with these awesome musicians. So it was always a sign from above or a sign from the universe, however you guys want to see it, to not stop and to keep going, to keep playing music. So listen to that voice, listen to your instincts and pay attention to the signs. I did want to leave the music industry, but something kept pulling me in and it's just not giving up. And keep on going. Do I miss Chicago, especially CJP? Absolutely, I do. I really do. It's part of my life. It's my family, and Chicago is where I was born and raised. But since I was very young, I've always told myself I want to live somewhere else so I can see a different world. So I can, you know, see what it's like to live in different parts of, I don't know, the country or the world. Never thought I would end up here, honestly, but that's how things happened, and I don't regret it at all. I'm learning a lot about people's nature and, you know, just musicians, music here is done very differently, and I'm learning a lot while being out here. But yes, Orbit, I miss you guys so much. Do we have time for another question?
Let's take that very last one that we'll do. That, how would you describe the difference between mariachi music and banda music?
That's a good question. So banda music consists of actual percussion instruments. You'll see a big bass drum and a snare drum and a bunch of brass instruments, you know, trombones, a huge tuba, trumpets, and clarinets. And usually they'll dress with like just a their outfit, their uniform is usually, you know, a regular pair of pants, whether it's black pants or jeans, but with their nice, you know, suit on top, their nice jacket. With mariachis, you'll see string instruments. That's one, like the harp, the guitarrón, the vihuela, the violins, and then you'll see two or three trumpets. It depends on the group. It all changes, but also you'll identify them by their outfit as well. Usually it's, you know, the jacket, the chaleco, I don't know how to say chaleco in English, and, you know, skirt or pants, but with like metal, like buttons going down.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. Well, that is the end of our questions and unfortunately the end of our time. Oh yes, of that. So I just want to really thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here. I'm so, so glad that you were able to come and talk with me and talk with our kids. And it's always a pleasure to have you here. So thank you again. Let's give a big, big round of applause for Mrs. Guerra.
That concludes this episode of the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic Jazz Cast Series. We really appreciate you tuning in. Sharing these stories wouldn't be possible without the support of listeners like you. To hear previous episodes, or to make a donation, or to simply learn more about our mission, please visit us at chicagojazzphilharmonic.org. See you next time for the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic Conversation Series.